Now, if you're going to run the prison without the bars, controlled by covert manipulation rather than overt dictatorship, you've got to give the people the illusion they're having a choice and a say. So we go through this farce called an election, and you choose which puppet of the same force you'd prefer. And because we think we have choice, we're okay. Well, I live in a free country. I do have a vote. I put a cross on a piece of paper every few years. It's great. I'll have no friggin' say between that point. And who attracts the money? It's cuckoo land amount of money to run for president. Who attracts that? The people they want that can spend that kind of money on politics. This is how it works. The one-party state. But we have to think that it's a multi-party state. Here's, Tweedledum and Tweedle-friggin-dum, you know. This is British politics version of that. This is Tony Blair, Illuminati frontman extraordinaire. When I was in Australia a few years ago, I predicted, not because I'm a genius, but you do the research, it's amazing what you can predict. You don't always get it right, but it's much easier. I predicted that not only would Tony Blair be the next Prime Minister of Britain, he was the opposition leader at the time, but that they would bring him in on May the 1st. I just knew he was so important to them in the next few years, they would bring it on him in on a major ritual day for them, May the 1st, while we get May Day and all this shit. In Britain, the sitting Prime Minister decides when the election's going to be called and when it's going to take place. Guess months and months and months and months later when John Major, the sitting Prime Minister, called the election, May the 1st, and in went Tony Blair on May the 1st. It's all ritual and it's all cycle. Now this guy's an opponent of him. It's called Michael Heseltine. This guy's a Bilderberger, come to the Bilderberg group, and this guy is called Kenneth Clark, who is a conservative opponent of him, and they attended the same Bilderberg group meeting in Greece in 1993. These are together, these opponents, at an event I mentioned earlier, where you have an all-party group wanting to push Britain further in to the European community net and web, because these are Illuminati frontmen. Low level, this guy, but Illuminati frontmen. This is how it works. And in public, apart from the agreement on the agenda, these people would argue with each other, therefore giving us the illusion that we have choice. There's these two. Conservative opponent Labour at the same meeting agreeing Britain should go further into the web. Positions of power. We're led to believe as the politicians walk the world stage and the media report them, that politicians are here in the decision-making process, like presidents, prime ministers, head of NATO, and stuff like that. In fact, they're here, and I'm probably being optimistic. In these levels where they control the money, the finance, and the media, they put into positions of apparent power people who will introduce their agenda. They are not actually powerful people, although of course they have power over people below. They are administrators of an agenda, and I would emphasize this point. You know when people like me speak, you know, you go on the bloody media or stuff, or they're writing about you, they go, he's a conspiracy theorist, thinks conspiracies. Well, actually, I'm not a conspiracy theorist because, A, most of it's kind of provable, and the rest of it we can debate, but the point is, it's not a conspiracy. Oh, not at its heart, it's not. It is an agenda. It's an agenda for the centralized takeover of planet Earth and the control of its population through a microchipped network in all of us, etc., etc. Where the conspiracy comes in three ways. One, manipulating and conspiring to remove those people and organizations that are a threat to that agenda becoming reality, making sure they don't get an opportunity to speak and say what's going on. Two, conspiring to put into positions of power politicians and bankers and stuff that will make that agenda become reality. And three, conspiring to create problems in the world which through problem, reaction, solution will get the public to allow or even demand that your agenda becomes reality. The conspiracies relate to making the agenda happen. The agenda is at the heart of what's going on. The health pyramid. Wonderful. Pyramids are wonderful. What you have is the transnational drug corporations here. They have a wholly owned subsidiary called the World Health Organization, you see. The World Health Organization then makes announcements, for instance, that it's there's going to be a measles epidemic or something, and coming through the World Health Organization Codex, which is trying to make life very difficult for alternative methods of healing and stuff like that, not that they're alternative, they've been around for thousands of years, they've been around for 10 minutes, they come down through European and national government legislation to the medical profession, when they're not on flipping trips to the Bahamas paid for by drug companies. Oh, I think you know, I've heard of this new drug, you know, which I understand might be very good for your ailment, you know. They never tell you. They heard about it in the frigging Bahamas, paid for by the people that make the flipping drug, do they? The scam is this. Transnational drug corporations, through the World Health Organization, announce there's going to be a measles epidemic. This comes down, European and national governments spend advertising, get your children immunized, there's going to be a massive measles epidemic, and the medical profession then administer the measles vaccine, which is provided by the transnational drug corporations to set the whole thing in train. This is how it works. I mean, I've got nothing against doctors, I just don't see them. You know what I mean? I just don't go to them. I have no problem with that. But, I mean, have you ever seen American television? You must have done. It's Canada. But American television, you couldn't have American television paid for without the drug adverts. Have you seen them? Unbelievable. You're eating your dinner, you're minding your own business, and it comes on, doesn't it? Do you suffer from constipation? Right, but they don't say that, do they? Because it's middle-class America. It's, are you too regular? Have you seen that? That's middle class America speak for got the shits. Are you too regular? But I'd love a real straightforward advert. Got the shits? Take this. Right. But the thing I love, you must have seen this one. It's got as far as Britain now. The great line in American drug adverts, because we have to give our power away to people in suits, is, a doctor recommends it. Have you got that one? A doctor recommends it. You know, my reaction is, won't the doctor friggin' take it then? Just leave me alone, you know? Anyway, there's this one drug, this advert. It's wonderful, even the way they manipulate us. And it's this elderly couple, right? They're walking down this beach, right? And they're obviously on a good pension because he's got nice silver hair. Every time I see older people with nice silver hair, they seem to have a good pension, you know. They seem to be well off anyway. They're walking down this bloody beach, and they've got the rocks and the sand and the sea, you know. And suddenly she stops, because she's got nice silver hair as well, you know. She stops and she goes, darling, I've got to go back. And she turns. And because he's a good husband-like, he's got the concerned look on his face. Ooh. And they walk back, you see. And then comes the punchline as they walk back. Do you have a weak bladder? Right? She wants a wee, you know. Anyway. And then they tell you about this drug that doctors recommend. And then they cut back to this couple because she's obviously taken it and it's worked, you know. And now they're walking down the same bit of beach, you know, and the rocks and the sand and all that stuff. And he turns to her because he's a nice husband. He says, darling, would you like to go back? And she sticks her nose in the air because she's had the pill like now. And she says, eventually. And walks on, you see. Now, when I first saw that, I don't know about you, when I first saw that, I'm screaming at the screen. For God's sake, woman, don't walk away all back to the bloody restroom. Have a wee behind that rock like the rest of us do. Ridiculous. Can you imagine? You're 3 miles from the restroom and your partner says, I'm going back for a wee. You say, get behind that bloody rock. I ain't walking down there. They must think we're mad. I love it. I love it. This is Increasingly now, as more and more people research this, this is a network which is being more and more exposed. When you start to get into this network of manipulation, this is often the first network you hit, because this is very much an operational network, day to day, and it's operating very, very much out there compared with some of the more elite ones that work behind the scenes and take a lot more research to uncover. This network started with a British-based secret society called the Round Table that was started the end of last century, early in this one. And its first head was a guy called Cecil Rhodes, after whom Rhodesia was named, now Zimbabwe. And if you ever get round to watching the second video in the Reptilian Agenda with Crader Mutwa, the way he describes the way that people like Cecil Rhodes and his network came into Africa, destroyed the cultures. And what they did, and he talks about this very eloquently as he talks about everything, they told one tribe that this tribe was going to attack them and was planning to destroy them. This tribe then fight this tribe in fear of getting your retaliation in first, as an old football manager used to say to me. And when one of the tribes started to get slaughtered exactly as planned, Cecil Rhodes turned up and said to the tribal leaders, the chiefs and stuff, the only way you're going to survive against the onslaught from this other tribe is if you come under the wing of the British Empire. So the British Empire takes over control of that tribal land, takes control over the tribal laws from the chiefs, to save them from the conflict the same people had manipulated. This went on all over Africa, as Credo talks about in great detail. And he was a man who talked openly about wanting to see a world government centered in Britain. If anyone wants to talk about racism, then they ought to have some research into Cecil Rhodes. So when Cecil Rhodes died in 1902, he left money to fund something called Rhodes Scholarships, which bring people from countries around the world to Oxford University, the center of the manipulation of global education, to be paid for to have an education of an Illuminati variety. And the ratio of so-called Rhodes Scholars who come back and enter positions of significant power in their countries is enormous compared with the general student population. The most famous Rhodes Scholar in the world today is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's chief advisor at his two election victories is George Stephanopoulos, Rhodes Scholar. The guy, Bob Hawke, Prime Minister of Australia, was very much behind the manipulation into being of APEC, Rhodes Scholar. On and on it goes. Now, the Round Table elite were in the war cabinets in the First World War of Britain and America. The very same people, therefore, who manipulated the First World War were appointed to the peace conference in 1919 at Versailles near Paris to decide how the world would be redrawn as a result of the war they had created. Classic. And also, while they were in Versailles, they met at the Hotel Majestic in Paris in 1919, and they started the process of creating offshoot organizations around this central core white round table, which would advance this agenda through the 20th century. The first one created was the Royal Institute of International Affairs in 1920, or 1919, to be absolutely accurate. And that created, 1920, that's right, 1920 that was started. And then that created offshoot organizations around itself in its own network. Its American arm, created in 1921, was the Council on Foreign Relations, very much orchestrated by the Rockefellers, and that is subordinate to this in London. The Council on Foreign Relations was followed in 1954 by the Bilderberg Group, set up at the Bilderberg Hotel in Oosterbeek, Holland. And the first chairman from 54 to 1976 was Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, Prince Philip's big mate. The Club of Rome came in 1968, which has massively manipulated the environmental movement. The United Nations we know about, and in 1972 came the Trilateral Commission, another Rockefeller operation, which pulls together this agenda between America, Europe, and Japan. Now, these organizations, which work as one unit, different masks on the same face, have among their number the top people in global politics, global business, global banking, global military. Some examples. The Bilderberg Group. The last six Secretary Generals of NATO. Willy Claes, Joseph Luns, Lord Carrington, and Javier Solana, the present one, George Robertson. All these people, members of the Bilderberg Group. The Secretary General of the biggest military organization in the world is an appointment by an organization that hardly anyone has ever heard of, including journalists. The head of the World Bank, James Wolfensohn, Bilderberg Group. Prime Minister of Britain, Tony Blair, Bilderberg Group. President of United States, Bill Clinton, Bilderberg Group. Chancellor of Germany, Bilderberg Group. On and on it goes. And yet we, as a people, have no idea this thing exists. And I can't give you a better example of what I'm talking about here, pulling this together, than what happened during the Bosnian conflict. The Bosnian conflict, and Kosovo was stage two, was created to advance the agenda of the world army to NATO becoming the world police force. The start of the Bosnian conflict, the status quo when there was a problem, was the United Nations peacekeeping operation. Had that been allowed to work, it would still be the status quo. Instead, as we saw the horrific pictures coming out of Bosnia on our televisions every night, the United Nations peacekeeping operation in Bosnia was massively, calculatedly exposed as inadequate and useless. Problem. Reaction, especially with the horrors we're seeing every day, something must be done. This can't go on. Solution? A 60,000 strong world army in Bosnia, the biggest multinational force since the Second World War, under NATO control. So when they played stage two, which was Kosovo, there wasn't even a mention of a UN involvement. In went NATO immediately. The agenda was advanced. So let's apply that to this. The first peace negotiator appointed in Bosnia to stop the war by the European Union was Lord Carrington, chairman of the Bilderberg Group since 1991, Trilateral Commission, and Royal Institute of International Affairs president. The war went on, stands back in amazement. He was replaced by another English lord, David Owen, Bilderberg Group Trilateral Commission. And the war went on, and he was replaced by the European Union by the former Swedish Prime Minister, Carl Bildt, Bilderberg Group. At the same time, the United Nations was appointing peace negotiators to stop the war, and they were working alongside the European Union appointees. The first UN peace negotiator in Bosnia, Cyrus Vance, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. He was replaced by a Norwegian, doesn't matter what country, same coordinating bodies, Thorvald Stoltenberg, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission. The war went on. Suddenly, amid worldwide publicity, came an independent peace negotiator, Jimmy Carter, who turns up from time to time. Jimmy Carter, first Trilateral Commission President of the United States, Council on Foreign Relations member. The war went on. Eventually, the point had been reached in public opinion and all aspects where the sting could be played. Onto the scene came Richard Holbrooke, Bill Clinton's peace envoy, who negotiated the so-called Dayton Agreement that put into place the World Army, NATO World Army in Bosnia. Richard Holbrooke, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. He answered to the then Secretary of State, Warren Christopher, Trilateral Commission Council on Foreign Relations, and the Defense Secretary, William Perry, Bilderberg Group, and they answered to the President Bill Clinton, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission Council on Foreign Relations, who answered to the unelected David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger, major executives of the Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission and Council on Foreign Relations. The first head of the World Army in Bosnia was Admiral Leighton Smith, Council on Foreign Relations, and the civilian operation was given over to the High Commissioner, Carl Bildt, Bilderberg Group. Just a coincidence, nothing to worry about. This is how these events are orchestrated behind the scenes with a hidden hand. Now, don't expect the media to tell you about this stuff. Catherine Graham won't tell you, the owner of the Washington Post, because she's a member of the Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. The Los Angeles Times, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the NBC, CBS, ABC, the three networks in America, all owned and controlled by members of these organizations. Tell you about the media. Have you heard of something called the Hollinger Group? They seem to own rather a lot here. Have you noticed that? Conrad Black's operation. Does he own a few newspapers or something, like most of them? Interesting little story. Do you know who owns